We want to tell you next about an all-American product, the Ford automobile. The company began selling its cars 100 years ago Monday. And to celebrate, a group of Model T owners made a 500-mile journey from St. Louis to Detroit. NPR's Kathy Schalk went along for part of the ride.
The Model Ts came, despite the rain, which blew in through the open sides of the cars. Ken Meek arrived in his rain suit.
And a little damp, but nothing serious. Nothing that won't dry out.
Meek did have a little problem with the hole in his floor, left over from a last-minute transmission repair.
I hit a water puddle this morning that looked like a fountain there coming up through that hole.
There are seven cars in all, their swooping black fenders and jaunty canopies gleaming. The drivers climb down from their perches and inspect one another's engines. Dick Lodge, who helped organize the trip, shows off his 1924 sedan.
This is the car that put America on the road. In the period, actually in the period through the teens and up into the early 20s, over half the cars on the road in the United States were Fords, which meant they were Model Ts.
Lodge sits behind the steering wheel, wiggling what look like turn signals.
This is the throttle, and this is the spark advance.
He lets up on the brake, the pedal on the right.
The center pedal is reverse, and the left pedal is low. When I get up to speed, I let the pedal out, and we're in high.
But in high, the Model T goes only 38 miles per hour, and they've got more than 200 miles to cover before the day's through.
Yeah, why don't we get going?
Ready?
Let's hit it.
You are ready to go. Everybody's here.
George Klipner, age 78, vaults into his seat, and I squeeze in next to him. Like the other drivers, he's as durable and unpretentious as his car. Klipner got his first Model T back in high school. He had another one in college, but he had to sell it when he went off to serve in World War II.
Of course, then when I reached my second childhood, as I evolved from my second childhood into my second teenhood, then I wanted another Model T, and that's when I bought this.
We cross the Mississippi River, and then in front of an old barn, we stop. Another 78-year-old, Les Flott, is waiting with his car, looking dapper in a striped shirt and suspenders.
This is a 1914 Model T, and I've owned it since 1946. It has gas headlights, an acetylene generator on the running board. You just turn this on and go up and light a match and light your headlamps. And actually, they made pretty good light.
Flott says his grandfather once drove a car like this.
I used to go out in the garage and pretend that I was driving the Model T, but anyhow, he sold the Model T to another farmer for three pigs.
Flott joins the convoy, but Carl Abey's car is faltering.
I replaced the intake man and the exhaust manifold gasket and this ring, but it's got this chirp in there, which I don't...
Everyone pokes around in the engine for a while, but A.B. shakes his head and decides to stay behind. Skyler Klipner, George's grandson, turns the crank to get their sedan going again.
Oh, yeah!
And we press on through a bright green, seemingly endless patchwork of corn and bean fields. In towns clustered around grain silos, children stop their bicycles and wave. Klipner waves back and hits the horn. And when we stop, grown-ups like Doug Kirkin and his mother Carmen approach wide-eyed.
This car is the same age as you are, 1926.
Oh, Doug.
It's still in one piece and so are you.
The vast majority of the 15 million Model Ts made weren't so lucky. Many got crushed and sold for scrap during the Second World War. Most of the closed ones, with curved wood frames like horseless carriages, simply rotted away. Kent Gilbane is glad his escaped that fate.
Where can you go and experience the same noises and rattles and exhaust fumes, if you want to say, and everything else that people did 80 years ago? You know, you're driving living history is really what we're doing here.
The drivers pour various fluids into their engines, tighten screws, tie excess baggage onto their running boards, and head off toward their next encounter with history. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News.